Wednesday, November 28th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another day of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Happy Wednesday to all of you out there listening today. You know what? Today on this Wednesday, I've actually got a little bit of sports history for you. Yeah, I do. Back in 1895, on November 28th, America's very first auto race on record took place. It was organized by the Chicago Times-Herald, and the race went from Chicago to Evanston and back. There were six cars that participated in the event. The race was 55 miles long total, and the winner of this race averaged, get ready for it, 7 miles per hour. You know, it's kind of interesting to look back at something like that now and see just how much auto racing has changed from the very first race to the modern era that we have now. Now, we don't have races going 55 miles. Races are now 500 miles long, sometimes 600 miles long. Instead of six cars running, there are like 30 or 40 cars running. And now, the speed of the cars is up around sometimes over 200 miles per hour. I don't know. I don't know if I can hang with that old time racing. Watching a car go down the street at 7 miles an hour, I don't know if I'm watching that. Then again, you know, the more I think about this, the race now takes probably 30 times longer than those races did. As slow as they were, they probably were done relatively quickly, wouldn't you say? But now, in modern day racing, you don't just have a race. You don't just go out and, hey, start your engines and let's go. You've got to have like a concert and a carnival, sometimes a Broadway show, and then they bring out the drivers, introduce them, complete with fireworks show, all of the nonsense that goes along with the racing stuff. And don't forget that during the race, if say a Kleenex blows out onto the track, they've got to stop the race. Hey, slow down. Everybody stop. Got to stop this race. But we know what they're doing. They're just bunching the cars up, hoping to generate a few more crashes. Kind of funny how that works, isn't it? Sometimes we don't even see anything on the track. And they're like, hey, it's getting a little too dangerous out there. We've got to stop the race. Just saw a plastic bag fly out onto the track. Plus, you know, thinking about those old time races, I mean, this was just one race. That was it. Now, you look at like NASCAR. You've got like 9 months of racing every single week. I don't know. Now the more I think about it, maybe I'd rather just go back and watch those old-timey races. That doesn't sound so bad to me. Some of the modern things they're doing with racing these days, I don't know, kind of draining a little bit out of the pool, at least for me. If you would like to contact the show, maybe let us know your favorite auto racing event. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you have some feedback for the show. Maybe you've got a suggestion. Maybe you need some advice. We would love to hear from you. Also, at this silly time of year, I know you're out there trying to finish up that holiday shopping. You're trying to find the perfect present for that difficult person on your list. Hey, just go over to teepublic.com, T-E-E public, all one word, teepublic.com, and check out the Daily Dose gear that's over there. We've got t-shirts. We've got hoodies. We've got zip-up hoodies. We've got laptop cases. We've got cell phone cases. We've got stickers. A number of items over at teepublic.com so that you can hook up the Daily Dose listener in your life. Make sure that you stop by teepublic.com and finish up that holiday shopping. Hey, today on the show, of course, we'll be looking at a few of the top sports news stories coming out. And as we do on many Wednesdays, we will have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
You never know what we might be ranking each week, but I will say this. I'll give you a little bit of a hint. It is football related, and it just might tell us a little bit of what to expect as the season is finishing up. Going to be getting to that in a few minutes. Couple things coming out in breaking news, though. First off, in arrogant NFL news, the Washington Redskins have claimed linebacker Reuben Foster off of waivers from the San Francisco 49ers. This was just 3 days after he was arrested on a charge of misdemeanor domestic violence. That's the guy you want to sign? Foster was subsequently placed on the commissioner's exempt list, meaning he can't practice. He can't attend games, but he could go to the team's facility on a reasonable basis for maybe workouts or meetings or other permitted non-football activities. Now, of all the teams in the league, Washington was the only one that actually put in a waiver claim. Now, going back to 2017, the San Francisco 49ers selected Foster in the first round of the draft. But Washington really liked Foster coming out, but they were concerned about his medical history. In addition to this latest domestic violence charge, Foster has already served a 2-game suspension to start this season. That comes from an arrest for a marijuana possession back in January. He also failed a drug test at the 2017 NFL Combine. And here is the thing that probably bothers me the most about Reuben Foster. Here is the part that probably concerns me the most, well, and the domestic violence thing. The fact that during that 2017 NFL Combine, in preparation for the NFL draft, Reuben Foster got sent home early after getting into a heated argument with hospital workers. What in the world are you arguing with hospital workers for? They're just there doing their job. That tells me this might not be the most balanced human being on the planet. Now, Foster was considered a top 10 talent, but his off-field issues, and he did have some medical concerns, caused him to fall clear to the end of the first round. But you just know, based on this signing, that Washington is going, hey, we know this guy looks like a mess, but don't worry. We're so smart. We're so much smarter than everyone else. We can totally fix Reuben Foster. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and doubt that. Foster has some serious problems. But when you look at Washington, between owner Daniel Snyder and head coach Jay Gruden, you just know these two egomaniacs believe they are truly the answer to fixing Reuben Foster. But I bet they aren't. Gonna be fun to watch that though. One other story coming out in breaking news. Remember back when you were in high school? And when you were in high school, at least for me, I went to a small high school, but you had different groups in school. You had a number of different factions throughout the school. Maybe you had like the group of cheerleaders. You had the jocks. You had the nerds. You had the stoners. You had like the, I don't know, goth metal kids, maybe the rich kids, whatever. And every once in a while, you would have people from these groups crossing over and getting into a big fight. And you would hear, hey, there's a stoner fighting a jock out on the football field. And everyone would go running out there. And sometimes those were the nastiest fights. Like, those were the best ones. You wanted to make sure you got out for those ones. I mean, those ones and the cheerleader ones, obviously. Woo-hoo! But everyone was watching those fights. It was quite a scene. And maybe you have a story that contradicts this. But for the most part, it was usually pretty rare to see that nerd group going out and fighting someone. They aren't usually that way. You'll end up working for them someday, but they're not going to come out and actually fight you like in the parking lot or anything. They just aren't that way, despite, you know, some movies back in the 80s that were made that tried to tell us they were. That's actually not how it goes. Well, earlier this week, we actually saw some nerd on jock crime. And get this, the nerds beat the jocks down. On the Nerdfest game show Jeopardy, earlier this week, they had a category called Predictions by 2030. Here's a clip from the $600 answer on that show.
Let's do predictions by 2030 for $600, please.
As of 2018, this NFC North team had never even made the Super Bowl, much less won it. But by 2030, gotta happen, right? Jay?
Who are the Detroit Lions?
Yes.
Hey, come on. That's just mean, nerds. This coming from the people who are struggling just to make the small talk between commercial breaks on Jeopardy because they're so awkward. They're so geeky. They can't even have a conversation. These same people laid the smackdown on the Detroit Lions. But here is a little bit of worse news for the Detroit Lions. As bad as that is. And it's brutal that the Dungeons and Dragons crew did you like that. But here's what's a little bit worse. I want you to think about this. I actually think Jeopardy got it wrong. There is nothing whatsoever happening right now that makes me think the Detroit Lions are going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon. 2030, that's too soon. That isn't that far off. What is that, 11 or 12 years away? Is there anything right now about the Detroit Lions that makes you think they're clearing things up that soon? Think about this. Where were the Lions like 11 or 12 years ago? What is that, 2006, 2007, something like that? Go look at the record. They were awful then too. Maybe if Jeopardy changed the category to 30-30, then I might start buying it. But 20-30? Yeah, that's way too soon. Detroit is not winning a Super Bowl by then. Hey, coming back, we are going to be bringing you our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
And it is going to be a two-parter today. We are going to look at the NFL, and we are going to look at college football. With the NFL playoffs and that college football playoff coming very quickly, which teams are actually worthy of our respect? Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, and now we are officially into that silly season where you've got to do all of that holiday shopping, maybe you have someone on your list that you're not exactly sure what to get. You need to make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. December's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Scavenge. What you build depends on what you can scavenge. We've searched through the rubble. We've made some fortunate finds, from the fantastic to the downright alien. So get ready for a collection of seriously cool exclusive gear. December's Loot Crate theme features items from Transformers Bumblebee, Dungeons & Dragons, Escape from New York, and Fallout. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate and you can choose from a huge selection of crates, or you can just go over there and find individual items, and they have just about any franchise you can possibly think of over there. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure that you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose every day. So don't worry about what to get that difficult person on your holiday shopping list. Just make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com first. So you know, on Wednesdays, we do like to get some actual numbers involved. Not so much opinion, but just put together a list and see what some real stats actually tell us. And no, we're not real heavy on the stats. We just want to see if we can gain anything by looking at them. Today, on our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings,
Hump Day!
You know, as we head down the final stretch of the NFL season, and teams are now 10, 11 games into the season, which teams are actually worthy of our respect? Which teams have now, at this point, played the most difficult schedules according to TeamRankings.com? Now, we did this at the beginning of the year, and we did it very early, and we just kind of looked at where everyone's schedule was then. Let's take a look now and see which teams have played the toughest schedules in the NFL so far. Coming in at the number 5 spot is a team that is probably one of the bigger disappointments in the NFL this year. We all thought the NFC South would be a 3-team race with the New Orleans Saints, the Carolina Panthers, and the Atlanta Falcons vying for the top spot. Yeah, that hasn't been the case for the Atlanta Falcons. They are now just 4-7, but it doesn't help that Atlanta has already had to play the Saints twice, the Panthers, the Steelers, and the Cowboys. The problem for Atlanta, the offense is inconsistent. Yeah, tell me where you've heard that before. And their defense has been largely invisible. At this point of the season, 11 games in, Atlanta can probably start looking forward to next season. They're not going anywhere this year. But when you've played the fifth toughest schedule in the league, hey, it does make it a little bit harder. Moving up to number 4 is a team that surprised me a little bit to see on this list. And I think this is actually a team that is going to look back at a couple of bad losses as the games that ended up dooming their season. Because the Denver Broncos got blown out by the New York Jets back in October. Then they missed a field goal to beat the Houston Texans at home. They also got handled by the Baltimore Ravens back in September. Those three games probably crushed the Broncos season. But look at who they have played. They played the Kansas City Chiefs close twice. Not once, twice. Then they played the Los Angeles Rams to a 1-score game. In the last 2 weeks, Denver has beaten the Los Angeles Chargers, and then they just beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, their schedule is going to get easier down the stretch. Can Denver, who has played the fourth toughest schedule at 5-6, make a push for a wild card spot? I think it's going to be uphill. I think it's going to be tough, but they have played a very tough schedule this year. Moving on to number three, one team that everyone thought was on their way down this season was the Seattle Seahawks. But honestly, head coach Pete Carroll might be doing one of his best coaching jobs ever with this group. They have faced the third toughest schedule so far. They have beat Carolina. They have beat Dallas. And look at Seattle's losses. They lost to the Rams. No shame in that. They lost to the Bears, the Chargers, and the Broncos to open the season. The Seahawks are back to playing good defense. And then they just kind of hope that quarterback Russell Wilson can come up with something at the end. And so many times, Russell Wilson does come up with something at the end. They do win a lot of games late, and he's the primary reason. Seattle is still in the hunt for a playoff spot, despite the fact they have faced the third toughest schedule in the NFL so far this year. Pretty impressive stuff from Seattle. Moving on to number two, this team got out of the gate so fast, they went 4-1. But you have to wonder if the tough schedule has really just started to catch up to the Cincinnati Bengals, who come in with the second toughest schedule. They have lost to the Steelers. They have lost to the Chiefs. They have lost to the Saints. That's a pretty tough slate there. Their defense is allowing more than 30 points a game. And now, starting quarterback Andy Dalton has an injured thumb. He's gone for the season. What will be interesting to see is how good is that backup quarterback situation in Cincinnati? Because remember, they shipped out longtime backup AJ McCarron in a trade prior to the season. So now they have to go with inexperienced Jeff Driscoll to try to right the ship. Cincinnati sits at 5-6. It's not technically over, but they've got a tough road ahead. They have played the second toughest schedule in the league. So right now, which team in the NFL has played the toughest schedule? And the answer surprised me a little bit, because this team looks like probably the top contender in the AFC. They have a 9-2 record, but they have currently played the toughest schedule in the league, because the Kansas City Chiefs have faced the Chargers, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Rams, the Broncos twice. Their only losses are to the Patriots on the road and to the Rams on the road. Now, I don't know if the Chiefs defense can hold up. I think it's going to be very interesting to see if their offense can keep that current pace when they start playing in the cold and they start playing in the miserable weather that we know Arrowhead Stadium tends to get later in the season. But could this tough schedule be helping the Chiefs prepare for the postseason? We know every single year Chiefs look great. September, October, November, they start to slow down. December, they start to bottom out. And then in the playoffs, it's over very quickly. Maybe this tough schedule is preparing this Kansas City Chiefs team to actually do something in the postseason. We haven't seen that since like the Roosevelt administration. Going to be very interesting to keep an eye on the Kansas City Chiefs as we finish out the NFL season. Okay, coming back, we will be switching things up. Of the top-ranked teams in college football, the teams that are hoping to be named to the college football playoff, how is the strength of schedule of those top teams? The answer just might surprise you. So last night, the latest college football committee poll came out. No big surprises. Everyone was basically where we thought they would be. Now we are down to the conference title games. But of the top-ranked teams that are hoping to get into the playoff, who has played the toughest schedules? It might be interesting to see, because we know that that committee, on that final poll, they are going to rate toughest schedule very much into the equation. We know they've done that in the past, especially if it works for their agenda. Let's take a look at the top teams and see where their strength of schedule comes in. Now, I'm going to start a little bit low. I'm going to start at the number 17, and that, of course, is the Central Florida Knights. And we know that they are no longer any sort of a threat to land a spot in the college football playoff, since the playoff committee wasn't actually going to put them in anyway. But since UCF lost their starting quarterback, McKenzie Milton, to that awful leg injury, now we know the playoff committee has an excuse not to put him in there. Like, they weren't going to get in anyways, and now they go, oh, well, you know what? We might have put you in there, but you lost your quarterback. Now, UCF did just play South Florida last week. Don't forget, they also did beat number 24 Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago. So what is UCF's strength of schedule right now? Out of 130 teams, Central Florida comes in at 71. Next up for them, they will face unranked Memphis in that AAC title game on Saturday. That's not going to help their strength of schedule much. I can tell you that. A tough story for UCF. It just didn't work out for them to ever be up in the upper echelon of the college football playoff committee. They just couldn't get there. Their strength of schedule just wasn't there. Next up is the suddenly much more popular Ohio State Buckeyes, who just a couple of weeks after barely beating Maryland in overtime are being talked about as maybe a sneaky contender for the Final Four. If you are a Buckeyes fan, I realize how excited you must have been to beat Michigan the way you did. But can I ask a question? Aren't you also upset that you haven't played like that all year? It took that Michigan game with you playing at home to finally bring that out. Now, next up for Ohio State is going to be number 19 Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game. That's not going to kill the Buckeyes' strength of schedule. They actually currently sit at the 10th toughest schedule in the nation. But I don't think beating Northwestern puts them over the top unless they just blast the Wildcats. And I mean, you need to put up some points. You need to be impressive against Northwestern. If Northwestern keeps that game close, I don't think Ohio State has a chance to get into the Final Four, despite the fact that they have played the 10th toughest schedule in the country. They also haven't looked overly impressive doing it. Up to number 5, we have the Oklahoma Sooners, who are hoping to sneak up into that Final Four if they can win their Big 12 championship matchup against number 14, Texas. Now, the Sooners have played the 15th toughest schedule this season. They face 3 ranked teams. Not as good of a schedule for the Sooners, but it will get a little bit better by adding Texas to it. Hey, that Oklahoma offense is insanely dangerous. Kyler Murray is an absolute freak. And also, that Oklahoma defense is insanely horrible. Will the playoff committee want to see Oklahoma in the Final Four? Hey, we know they'll bring points. They'll light up the scoreboard. No question about that. The problem is they'll also allow points. We'll have to see what Oklahoma does against Texas on Saturday. The number 4 team in the country right now is the Georgia Bulldogs, and the Georgia Bulldogs do actually control their own destiny. Hey, win the SEC championship, and they're going to go to the college football playoff. Lose the SEC championship and keep it close, they still might go to the college football playoff. It's not going to be easy for Georgia, though, because they've got to face the number 1 Alabama Crimson Tide, but the Georgia Bulldogs, it seems like they are playing their best football right now. They're running the football really effectively, and that helps quarterback Jake Fromm. It also helps that Georgia defense, and that defense is pretty solid. On the season, Georgia has faced 6 ranked teams, and they're going to be facing the number 1 team in the country in that SEC championship. Georgia's strength of schedule in the entire country is currently ranked number 3 in the country. The question you have to ask, could 2 SEC teams get in again? Going to be interesting to watch that. The number 3 team in college football right now is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And Notre Dame has probably already punched their ticket to the college football playoff. And they're going to be sitting around watching TV this weekend because their season is already over. They don't play in a championship game. For the season though, Notre Dame has played the 27th toughest schedule. Now, they did play 4 ranked teams during the season, but they're also done. So that strength of schedule can't get any better. Now, I do think Notre Dame is probably one of the best 5 or 6 teams in the country. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But it's a little hard to tell how good Notre Dame is because they truly haven't played a top team since when? The opener against Michigan? That was probably it. And that was a long, long time ago. We haven't seen Notre Dame get tested down the stretch. The schedule looked good at the beginning of the year, but as the year has gone on, it hasn't looked that great. Their schedule is only ranked 27th in the country. I still think they get in. We just don't know exactly what to expect from Notre Dame this year. The number 2 team in the country has also had a little bit of a softer schedule. And honestly, I don't know how it's as high as it is. Clemson has the 18th ranked schedule in the country. They played just 2 teams while they were ranked, but the 2 teams were North Carolina State and Boston College. Now, they did also face Texas A&M on the road. Texas A&M wasn't ranked at the time, but they ended up getting ranked as high as number 16. Clemson's defense has been extremely strong. That offense has gotten more and more scary the farther the year has gone, but they haven't exactly been facing the top teams in the country. On Saturday, they will be facing number 24 Pitt in the ACC championship game. If they win, I just don't see any way you keep the Clemson Tigers out of the college football playoff. Not the greatest schedule, not the toughest schedule, but they also haven't lost any games. I think they're in along with Notre Dame. So where is the top team in the country ranked as far as their strength of schedule? This again is according to TeamRankings.com. The Alabama Crimson Tide faced three top 25 teams. They come in with the fifth toughest schedule in the country. Now, obviously, Alabama is going to be facing a top team in Georgia this week. Is there any way that the Alabama Crimson Tide could lose to Georgia and still get in? Actually, maybe the better question is there any way the Alabama Crimson Tide can lose a game this year? I do think someone could get them, but I think you are going to have to play the perfect game, and that is not going to be easy because Alabama makes things so, so difficult for you. I think that's going to be a really, really tough task for anyone to beat them. When we look at these teams and we look at their strength of schedule, it does help you to kind of take a step back and look and say, okay, I look at Central Florida, 71st ranked schedule. Okay, even with McKenzie Milton, they had no business in the Final Four. You look at Ohio State, they've played a top 10 schedule. That does kind of change the look for them a little bit. My concern with Ohio State, they've looked very, very average all year. How many games did they scrape out? Indiana, Maryland, they've looked so average at so many times. Don't forget that thumping they took by Purdue. You look at Oklahoma. I don't think Oklahoma has had those bad games. They only have the one loss, a three-point loss to Texas. But Oklahoma has played some decent competition, and they put up points everywhere they go. My concern for them is they allow a lot of points. Of all the teams that we have in this top seven, the Georgia Bulldogs have faced the toughest schedule. Now, we saw them early in the season struggle a little bit. We saw them lose that game to LSU. So we know they're definitely beatable, but it seems like that LSU game kind of woke things up for Georgia. It seems like they've kind of turned it on ever since. It seemed like that game galvanized them. They figured out that rushing game. They figured out, let's take some of the pressure off of Jake Fromm. Don't ask him to do so much. If we're asking him to do all that, we're probably going to continue to struggle. Notre Dame, a team that has probably already punched their ticket. Their schedule is ranked 27th. It's very, very interesting to look at these teams that are the top contenders to get into that college football playoff, and you kind of take a look at where they're ranked with that strength of schedule. Does kind of give you a little bit different look at each of them. Hey, this weekend coming up, with these championship games coming, is going to be interesting. But you know what? There are a couple of things about this championship weekend that concern me just a little bit. We might have to talk about that tomorrow on the show. Hey, have to say thank you all so much for listening to and for sharing the Daily Dose. Thank you so much for the emails, the texts, and the tweets. Hey, like I said, do not forget, head over to tpublic.com. Finish up some of that holiday shopping. They've got some great gear over there. I've already heard from a number of you. Said, hey, the gear looks great. I'm going on to order it right now. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com and check out the gear that's over there. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday.